Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do have lots of other happenings in the area, including my birthday next week. And we'll find out how that goes. I always go to a restaurant for my birthday because I love restaurants. I really do. That's what underlies all of the things that I do. I just think it's a great thing to do is to be out and hanging out with friends and maybe people you're just meeting and trying them out, see how things are. 260-6368. Love to hear from you if you like to talk about food or even if you haven't been to a restaurant in your life, call me up and I'll give you some ideas. 260-6368.
Do we have to talk only about food?
No, of course not. We're wide open for anything you've got.
Because when I, at the break, I remembered talking about Muttley.
Muttley?
So I looked up Muttley because I couldn't remember what cartoon he was from. And all I can see, based on the few minutes that I've looked, is that he's part of a video game, which I know is really recent. But I know that he was part of a cartoon whose name I can't remember from way back when.
I think it was Nutley. I can't remember for sure, and it doesn't matter a lot, does it? But anyway, Nutley is what I remember.
I think it's Muttley, M-U-T-T.
Well, let's throw this to the crowd.
And Dick Dastardly, but I don't remember the name of the cartoon. 260-6368 is the number, but this is a food show, and that's what we're talking about.
Don, the gourmet waiter? No, you...
Ron.
Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's... Well, here... What?
Yeah.
The gourmet neighbor. Is he here?
Don, the gourmet neighbor. Hello, neighbor.
Yes. I'm getting... So, I'm so confused, I don't even know who I am.
welcome to the way things go in radio.
Welcome to the club.
You never know what's going to go on.
So let me give you my 2 cents on waiters. I really think that you, if you're a good customer, a good waiter finds you. You don't find the waiter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have waiters and servers in many, many restaurants, and I think they appreciate the way if someone dines out on a regular basis and you kind of know what you're doing and you are gracious with your tips, they appreciate you and they seek you out. And it truly does create a different dining experience than if you don't have your own server or regular server.
Oh, yeah. That's so obvious that it almost seems stupid, but I'm not addressing that to you, but to that guy over there and that guy over in the distance. But, you know, just to have an assortment of visits. Now we've gotten it out of here.
Instance, this week we have a convention coming in. It's a very large banking convention. And so I've got tons of people asking me where to go. Well, it's so nice to be able to pick up the phone and say, look, I've got a customer coming in. They need, and I know that they'll be taken care of. I don't have to worry about anything. It's just done.
Yeah.
You know?
This is what we do in this city. This is we repair problems and we make for happy all
I've
over the place.
I just changed your name. You're now Don, the gourmet dinner broker.
I'll never remember that. So we can't do that.
Yeah. Any of these would apply, though, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah,
absolutely.
I'm always graper. I mean, no.
So let's go back to the duck press.
Must we?
Yeah, I want to say I think the only time I know that I have been anywhere where a duck press was used And Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, could it have possibly been Louis the 16th?
The people who lived in that time in history didn't seem to have any.
No, he's talking about Louis the 16th, the restaurant, not the king.
Right.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
You use the press. Use the press. Because I would imagine.
I think in the time of Louis the 16th, the king, they used the press for people, didn't they?
It was not a colorful time for people with heads and hearts and things like that.
Well, you know, the great thing about the duck press is when you use it, you're truly using the entire animal. You're not throwing anything away. I mean, you take the duck, you roast it. Well, traditionally, you would asphyxiate the duck, but that's a whole part I don't want to get into, so we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, let's not.
Thank you.
But then you would actually take the duck, you partially roast it, you remove the legs, you remove the breasts, you reserve those to finish cooking later, and you literally press everything from the carcass of the duck. So then you have all the collagen, you have the bone marrow, you do ground the liver, sorry, and then you add that ground liver to that, and then you would add whatever kind of spices you wanted, maybe some wine, maybe some cognac. And what results is a sauce that is unlike anything else. It's fantastic. Did I
sounds
bore everyone?
Like no. I the concept is fascinating up to the point where it gets to savagely cut living beings in. But that's up to you to worry about.
Well, I'm not doing any of this. I'm just saying that's how it's done.
Oh. I'm so happy to hear about that.
Well, there's anyway, no room for a duck press in the condo.
Oh, well, I'm glad we settled that for you, too. What a mess.
I ruined this call. I got to go. I killed this call.
Oh, wait, no, we've had plenty worse than this, buddy. Let me tell you.
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed last night. I had it on my calendar, and
wait,
I just
could not. Wait, I have to ask you a question, Don, before you go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got a few questions for you.
Okay, you go first, Tom.
Okay. No, yours is probably better. Fire away.
You were not there last night, were you?
No, I was invited, but I had another engagement. Otherwise, I absolutely would have been there.
I thought for sure you might be there.
I would have been there. I would have loved to have seen you. Hello?
I assumed that you might be there, and it was surprising that you weren't.
I was surprised I wasn't there, but sometimes I do actually have to work so I can afford to do other things.
Imagine.
Well,
sometimes work gets in the way.
Yeah, bummer.
You
anyway.
Know, yeah, you do what you got to do.
That's right. Well, your boy was very well feted and revered, just so you know.
Well. He's a good man, and he's done a lot for this city, and he's quite proud of both the city and himself, so and the whole state for that matter. So that's a good
yes.
thing.
Yes, and that was very clear in everything that was done last night. It was celebrating his ambassadorship of Louisiana across the world.
Now he's done great things to. Great things to push Louisiana. I mean, you know, all the way from China
in
and back.
In and out of the state, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And if we've had a lot of people that do that, but not to the extent that he does it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not to that extent. Well.
All right. He was serving this really interesting. It was. Let me get the exact name of it, but it was a corn and crab cappuccino. And the bowl was filled with popped popcorn.
It didn't have any coffee in it, let's hope.
Before the soup was poured in. It was an interesting presentation.
So then did the popcorn kind of melt into the soup, or did the texture remain at all?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
I said, did the popcorn just, like, dissolve, or did it just get soggy? What was the texture?
All of the above.
All of the above.
It got soggy before dissolving.
And what did you think of it?
Not in that order. I thought it was, you know, more more a presentation thing than a taste.
Gotcha.
You know.
I imagine. Did he do the? I know he was he cooking at all? Was his food there as well?
Yes, his food was there. Yeah, it represented definitely. Several ways. Okay. Actually, one of my favorite things was a portobello mushroom bisque from the Fulce and Company. He had two. He had probably four things on the menu, two from each the White Oak Plantation and John Fulce and Company. And the portobello mushroom was from Fulce and Company, and it was delicioso. It was really great.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good. There was also a soup that he had from Revolution, which was one of my favorites. It was, I have to read it also, it was something, it was a Blanquette de Veau.
Ah, that's a class, a Blanquette.
It was
ladies
delish.
And gentlemen, if you're ever seeing that on the menu, don't get it.
Don't get it.
Now, unless you
wait,
really,
don't get it.
Yes, in my opinion, it is such a one kind of.
I loved it.
Did you? Okay, if you loved it, well, for goodness' sake, do eat as much of it as you can. But it's to me, it just kind of it has this hard to pick out sort of.
It was a soup
style.
With vegetables and chicken in a light. It wasn't light as in consistency light. It was light as in color, hence the name. And it was. I thought it was good.
I'm glad for you, and I hope you enjoy it some more in the future.
It usually has pieces of veal in it, too, doesn't it? Like shoulder meat? Small pieces? traditionally, that's what's in it. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
It's...
Was there meat in the dish?
I thought it was chicken.
No, it was definitely veal shoulder. Shoulder roast is what that is.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you liked it.
No, but it's a little baby. It's a little baby.
Well, like I
some people can't deal with veal.
I can't do foie gras. I can't do veal.
I look at it like this. If you don't do it, the animal has already been processed, so it's a waste of the animal. Because whether you eat it or not, it's still there, right?
Well, I don't want to talk about this, but I think that don't you process it only if you're doing it? Like, you know, otherwise it could, like, walk around and still be a little baby.
Well,
right.
I don't think it would be raised. It probably wouldn't be raised then because there'd be no use for it.
There are these precious little baby goats that were just born at this place that I pass every day on the highway. And I would just go, every time I passed them. And then they disappeared.
You would fail. Wow.
Hello?
Cabrito. Oh, yeah, that's the baby lamb. Oh, no, baby goat.
Baby goat.
Yeah, that is...
Well, I like all of the above. My apologies.
Nice person, but a vegetarian. Anyway, I'm a freak. All what right. can I say?
It's okay. All right, guys, have a great evening. Thank you.
Broker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll never
anyway,
remember
thank
that.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Take
there
care.
We are.
Bye.
It's the food show, and here we are with it. And anything on your mind is worthy of being discussed and disgusting, depending on how you look.
Well, the last 5 or 10 minutes has certainly been.
Well, it can do that to you.
Yes, when you start talking about the likes of a duck press. I mean, a duck press is a gorgeous piece of equipment.
Yeah.
When it is polished and silver and sits there
it does something that you will not be able to execute any other way.
Yes, and we don't need to revisit what it does actually. All right, 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL. 105.3 FM HD2. We'll take a break now.
I just think I'll dump right there and keep on going with the food show. 260-6368 is our sponsor, our phone. And we'd love to hear from you about anything on your mind having to do with dining in, dining out, going to restaurants, doing it at home. All of these coverage areas we're more than happy to get involved with. And if you want to know anything about who's making what these days, what's the best place to go to for baby goat, for example. And that's what they sound like, too.
I want to know about Muttley.
Muttley?
Anybody remember Muttley, the dog in the cartoon, and when that was, and anything about that cartoon? Because I think about Muttley every time I laugh.
Yeah.
and then I laugh again and sound like Muttley all over again. So I'm a little curious for a review on that. I don't have time to look it up while we are doing the show. 260-6368 is the number.
And all of this comes to be because it associated itself with Chef...
Well, not Muttley. Muttley comes to be because I've been sick for a week.
Oh, is that it?
But Chef John Fulce is what we've been talking about. Yeah. He was honored last night by the New Orleans Wine and Food Experience, which is cranking up. They've moved their date. They've moved their date so many times, it's hard to keep track. But I think they may have settled on March now. And this kicks off the 2020 version of NAWFI, the Ella Brennan 10th annual Ella Brennan, let me see what it's called, the Ella Brennan Lifetime Achievement Hospitality Award. And last night was the gala, and everyone who we've ever known, I think, in either media or the industry was there last night. It was nice to see Kim Kringle.
I heard he was there, and I never bumped into him, but I bump into him a lot on the North Shore. So
He and his wife were there, and I haven't spoken to his wife since the old Dakota Wine and Feed days, and it was very nice to see him.
The person,
there were some people conspicuously absent who shall go unnamed, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, this is neither unnamed nor need for a name, but there was one person I was hoping I would see because he's a friend going back a long way, and that was Gunther Preuss and his wife, Evelyn, who are – they live in the French Quarter now, but they are natives of Germany. And they ran a five-star restaurant on St. Charles Avenue that I've never given less than that. And it was great
like
to
see. Well, they're a five-star couple.
They were a five-star couple.
They're sort of Euro-glamorous.
Very much so.
Not sort of. They are. They're Euro-glamorous.
Yeah. And very likable people, and they're funny, too. That's my favorite part about it. Well, you could talk to them for about 20 minutes and still get laughs.
Well, Gunther is actually officially seriously retired now.
He has?
As of this year, yes.
Oh, because he was working with Dickie Brennan Steakhouse and doing
a lot
of...
He's officially, as of this year, 2020, really, truly, promise, retired.
Well, I'll miss him. And a lot of other people who were there, too. So it was a wonderful event, except for maybe the length of time it took to run this.
Well, there was a lot of speaking going on. And then there was the Native American ritual that they did.
Yeah.
And it was, it was all very interesting, but it was a while, yes. But it was fun. It was really a nice.
It was great. And the space
nice
they used,
event.
The that old, although very, very modern and very large, there's
Grand Ballroom.
The ballroom
at
the Ritz-Carlton, and it's really something. It could have been. No, I had something I was going to tell you, but I can't.
No, I'm going to jump back in and say that last hour we talked about croissants a little bit. It's National Croissant Day. And if you have anything to say about croissants, I can't believe you don't. It's kind of a – well, I mean, I would say it's kind of a standard item, but really that's not true. It's only been, I would say, in the last – 30 40 maybe, 40 at the absolute outside years that they've been sort of plentiful in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they've been around in Europe for a long time, but I mean, I remember not having any idea what, of course, that doesn't really mean anything, but croissants were kind of exotic things back 40 years ago. Am I wrong about that, Tom?
No, you've got it right there.
I mean, I started seeing croissants in the 80s at a place called Chez Pierre in Kenner, and later learned that the reason Vietnamese people had perfect croissants was the French influence when they occupied Vietnam, which of course makes sense. But that's the first time I ever recall seeing a croissant in person. I've lived a sheltered life. What can I say? But anyway, now you see them all over the place.
Yeah.
And they've gotten much, much better.
They're still kind of a hit and miss to me. I'll cut into or just try to pull apart one of these things, and they just, you know, become rubbery or something. And I wonder, where'd that come from? It can be done with lots of butter. It will be sort of required.
I don't know where you're eating croissants, but hopefully they're not in the supermarket. You know how you see that whole pile of supermarket bakery stuff?
No, I'm no fan of that.
And I just envision whenever I see that, someone coming in with a like a forklift or an excavator and just scooping it all up and throwing it away, because that's what I think it's worth at that point. But croissants that are made at supermarkets and thrown 12 to a package, no, don't do that. If you want a croissant, go get a real one at a bakery, because there are some really good ones out there.
Who's on hold? We have somebody. Ron, Hi. The gourmet waiter. This is the second of the Rons so far today.
Well, no, it's Don, then Ron.
And then we have six more after that.
We have a lot of similar names. Hello, Ron.
It sounds like it's Don and the two Rons.
do Ron, yeah, do the Ron.
I was listening to a show earlier today on radio.com, which is an app. And your show is on radio.com. And I just wanted to say how easy it is, because when you click on the icon and radio.com opens up, it shows you the last show that you listened to. So when I want to listen to your show, I just click the icon, the app opens up, and there's a play button. And I hit the play button, and it shows me your show.
Wonderful. That's what I do, too.
Yeah, there's a word for that jargon. It's the stuff that was done earlier that day, and now you get to listen to it again.
Podcast. Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And if you have it on your internet, there's a little radio. It's a little red radio icon. You just touch it.
Yeah, but at for a while there, the engineers seemed to find some incredible deficiency in their being able to get this to come on the air with any kind of reliability. But they seem to have this fixed now. So just stay
up.
On.
Yes.
What's that? Podcaster
up. In other words,
okay,
that's
the
translation.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, that's not what you called about, Ron. So what did you call for?
Well, Marianne, you always ask me what I've been cooking lately. So I called up the show ready to talk. I've been frying pizzas lately.
What
I mean by that is I make a homemade pizza dough, okay, usually like 1 pound of flour, a tablespoon of yeast, a little bit of olive oil, little salt, little pepper, and I just get that into a ball and cover it, and about an hour or two later, it's doubled in size, and then normally what you do is you would roll this out, and then you'd put your toppings on it, you'd put the pizza in the oven. But I was at a party the other night where I was the cook, and everybody was telling me that they wanted a really crispy dough. And one way to do that is to take the dough by itself, rolled out, put it in the oven for about 4 minutes and pre-cook it, and then take it out and put the ingredients in it. But I had some oil. So what I did is I took a pan, put it on medium heat, let it get hot for about 5 minutes, put a little bit of oil in there, and then I took these pizza doughs that I had just rolled out. It's flat, and I just put it right in the hot oil. And in about 4, maybe 5 minutes, if you turn it over, the side that's been cooked is going to be kind of golden brown, kind of like the color of a waffle. And the neat thing was when I scooped those out, it was super crispy. So now you just put your ingredients on it, and then you just put it right in the oven.
Ah, well, that sounds perfect.
How was it?
It was awesome. It's got a neat flavor to it. Scott Craig from Katie's has a piece of metal in his oven that he calls the rock. And what he does is when he takes his pizzas out of the oven, a lot of times he'll put them on the rock for a second, which is this flat, thick metal piece in the bottom of the oven, because it crisps them up really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm doing, except I'm just doing it stovetop with a little bit of oil to keep it from sticking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
well,
it really works out well.
Anything good enough for Scott Craig is good enough for me.
Yeah, that's for sure. What class. He really does.
Yeah,
everything he does is perfect.
There was a poor boy you all were talking about a while back. His name was Horst Pfeiffer.
Sure.
Yep.
And
yeah.
I think he owned or owns that catfish place. There's
Middendorf. Yes.
Middendorf.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So a friend of mine bought a house in the French Quarter a couple of years ago, and he told me that there was a pizza oven in it. So I went over there and made some pizzas, and as it turned out, that was Horst Pfeiffer's house.
Yeah, he had a great house in the Quarter.
Yeah, so diagonally across the street from
Yeah, anyway, I got his pizza oven up to 700 degrees.
Wow. What were you burning?
He had a really nice pizza oven. I just had some wood in there. I used firewood, but I let it smoke all the way off. I cooked it until the coals were all red. I didn't want any smoke from that firewood getting in the pizza. So we just waited a little while, but they were just red hot coals, and we slid the pizza right in. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
He had a great house in the French Quarter, a great kitchen in that house, and I continue to marvel when I think that they live out in the boonies now.
Well, I don't know. You have all the...
another Euro glamour couple, although she's American.
Yeah, but she has all of this catfish that she can now get you.
Yeah. Well,
You don't get better catfish than that.
Phenomenal pizza oven. I'm going to hang up and listen. Great show as always.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
See ya. The
All
Food
right.
Show.
We're going to take another
Morris.
Break.
Take a break. Sure. Let's do it. We will return with more of the Food Show in a moment. But first, if you will, this. Coolwater Ranch. And, this show has raced by. We have...
They all do.
They usually do, but boy, today has been bringing in all kinds of stuff. Doesn't mean that we are not looking for something else to be added to the conversation. So if you have something, please give us a call, and we'll exchange our thoughts. 260-6368 is our telephone number, 260-6368. Where were we?
Still looking for info about Muttley.
Was it a dog or was it something else?
The dog with the raspy throat situation. Yes. I think we have a caller. Ron, do we have a caller? No, we don't. Okay. I guess maybe
we'll take a call. But
anyway, Muttley, I'm still looking for the name of that cartoon and anything you remember about Muttley. I know it's a food show, but I think about Muttley whenever I laugh because I start coughing in that wheezing cough, and then that makes me laugh after I've thought about Muttley, and then I just keep coughing. So I was curious about Muttley. Anyway,
Why
we're
not?
Talking about croissants. Got no action on that whatsoever.
Well, it'll happen one of these days.
And mostly about the John Fulce event, which really could be a show in itself. And looks like it's turning out to be just that, because that's pretty much all we've talked about.
We can go backwards a little bit. They were doing some very good soups there. I think everybody agreed on that.
I think it was a little heavy on the soups, honestly.
In terms of, they were kind of beefy.
They had a good soup from Muriel's there. A Senegalese Senegalese peanut soup.
That would be different.
And that was next to gumbo zerb, which was next to turtle soup. There's a lot of interesting, very familiar, and then unfamiliar things. Last night at the John Foles Award Gala, where he received the Lifetime Achievement 10th Annual Ella Brennan Award, Lifetime Achievement in Hospitality.
And, you know, this is interesting, and I don't know how you can work around this exactly, but that was the Ella Brennan Award.
Right.
And it also was given to someone else as the
recipient.
All over again.
The honoree, yes.
Yeah, the honoree. And she was, obviously, she's no longer with us, so that wasn't going to happen.
So she couldn't get it herself.
I thought, you know, that's a little awkward, isn't it?
But really. But anyway, T. Martin was there being absolutely hilarious on stage.
And her nephew.
It was loads of fun. Billy Nungesser, who turns up at all such things, was also there. Another big ambassador for the state of Louisiana. Anyway, 260-6368. I am still mortified at raving about the let me have to look it up. DeVoe. What was it? The soup that I liked that I
DeVoe?
That you didn't Blanquette DeVoe.
Blanquette DeVoe.
DeVoe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that to me is so bland and so nothing. But I have shared it at a variety of tables over the years, so I can stand it, but it's not my kind of
thing. They did a thing, the chef from Restaurant August did a sort of a take on my other favorite. I have two sort of food things. One is a porchetta, which was represented there by Donald Link and Steve Strajewski. And the other is fish and chips, and they didn't have fish and chips there, but the chef from
Wrong
August,
country.
Well, no, they were representing England as they represented Germany with the porchetta, although that's really, I think, I see that in Italy rather than in Germany. They have a lot of pork in Germany, but it's usually served schnitzel style. Anyway, who needs to quibble about details? So they had Chef Ross Dover, which is almost a pun, if you think about it, who was there to serve something representative of England. It was a fried, and they put a Louisiana twist on it. It was a fried flounder over a salad instead of chips. But that had the longest line, and I never did get any of that. By the time I made it back to the table, when there was no line, the reason there was no line was that there was no fish. So I didn't get to sample that, but I did get to have the porchetta, which was my other thing, and it was it was good. But I'm determined to actually get porchetta where I first saw it, which was in Italy. And speaking of Italy, Chef Andrea was there.
He was there, and he was making a big fuss over it, and in a happy sort of way.
He was serving something that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, what's
but
that?
But it was spezzatino.
Spezzatino.
We'll ask him about that tomorrow when he calls. Spezzatino.
This is the kind of thing that I'd have to listen to more than a couple of times.
Yeah, and there was also a risotto at that table representing Italy. What?
There is an Italian expression that if you change the meaning of it or say what the meaning of it's a slap against priests, but I think that's a different goofball thing than what I'm saying.
I have no idea what you're talking about, and I think I might have to say I don't really want you to go any further, so I don't know. Anyway, we were also talking about croissants earlier today, because honestly I'm looking at your almanac today, Tom. It's very it's very light, shall we say.
That was a problem, a computer problem today. it'll be back in business later.
What, the croissants or the?
Oh no, the croissants. I wish I could bring the croissants just directly to you so you could enjoy them right away.
Yes, but you do say something funny though about croissants and buttering.
Yeah.
Buttering croissants, and it's definitely worth mentioning. It's an image that is pretty apt, but also kind of gross. And it's you have quite a lot about croissants in the almanac today at nomenu.com. Mm-hmm. But the deft dining rule number 750, buttering a good croissant is like spreading rendered ham fat on a slice of bacon.
That is the truth. Whoever wrote that down, that's they missed the point of bacon to begin with.
Well, I'm curious as to what that bacon that was out on the charcuterie table was last night. It just says charcuterie, but it doesn't specifically say what
I saw a little bit of that, but I didn't see much of it. There was that Italian ham that is not smoked, not cured, just there.
It's not capicola, is it?
Capicola, no, it's different.
Yeah. There was... I'm trying to think of some of those names of those things. They weren't identified, which I kind of wish they had been. Anyway, you have another old kitchen sage says, always keep lard in the back of your mind when baking or frying. It's not good for you to eat often, but it sure is good once in a while. I think it's actually better than something like Crisco.
Oh, anything would be better than that.
But you do need something that's a fat substance in order to make things like biscuits and such. So
yeah, we started out, Mary Lee and I started out with making biscuits using Crisco, and then I started learning about Crisco, and I have shifted off onto butter, which it was cheating a little bit, but boy, are those things good! If you've ever seen my recipes for buttermilk biscuits, try them. Maximum 4 biscuits per run.
Yeah, those are good biscuits. Anyway, today there is an interesting thing. The world's that was passed back in the 1500s, the world's first pure food law, and perhaps the first law ever to protect the rights of consumers.
Was it Germans?
Yes.
The Germans in
Bavarian.
They are very much in love with that idea.
Yes, it was Reinheitsgebot, decreed by Duke Wilhelm IV of Bavaria on this date in 1516, and it required that beer be made of only 3 ingredients: malted barley, hops, and water. Later, yeast, which naturally occurs on grain, was also allowed. Many microbrewers, including the Crescent City Brew House, still follow that law. I would imagine that a lot of microbreweries that have cropped up.
Oh, sure.
Since the Crescent City Brew House, which was what, back in the 80s again? Maybe the early 90s, Crescent City Brew House? Those are actual Germans who mm-hmm. run that. Anyway, since that time, the craft brewery world has, well, in my opinion, spun out of control, but keeps proliferating, let's say. And I would imagine that they would find something like that sort of a cool thing. And I don't know what is in any of those beers, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out that they also follow that rule that I just mentioned that I had trouble enough pronouncing the first time, but I'm going to have another go at it. Reinheitsgebot, which is a pure food rule that comes from Bavaria circa 1514.
My, my.
We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We'll be back after that if you'd like to talk to us. We have just 10 minutes left of the program. The phone number is 260-6368.
Thank you. We'll be back with more of The Food Show. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Tom Fitzmaurice. We're still here on the air. We're
coming to the
incredibly. And we are just have a few more minutes left to go before today's program comes to a screaming halt, or whatever that is, or who's screaming anyway.
A whimper.
Today,
I think it would come to a whimper.
That's someone who wimps.
You know what? I'm going to read something from your almanac, unless we have a caller, which I am sure we don't.
No, fire away.
I was watching the Muttley cartoon at the break, and that is one funny dog, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have a long thing about croissants in here, some of which is really interesting.
Mm.
Today in 1649, that's about Oliver Cromwell. Today is National Croissant Day. Good croissants are difficult to make at home and just as hard to find in stores. Both of the little bakeries where I was getting excellent ones have perished. The exterior of a great croissant has a crust that flakes off in big curved pieces. The interior should be yeasty, buttery, and vaguely fibrous. And it should be at room temperature, the last vestiges of heat from the oven just coming off. While the plain croissant is by far the most popular, there's a certain amount of interest in croissants filled with almonds and almond paste or chocolate. Some are baked with ham and cheese inside, and sandwiches are made of croissants, too. None of these strike my palate as improvements, although the almond version comes close. There's a bit of anti-Islamic lore surrounding the invention of the croissant, but it doesn't appear to be true.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I've heard that for years and years about how there being the crescent.
It's a fascinating story, though.
It is a fascinating story, but it's not true.
The story takes place in several different places, notably Vienna and Tours, but it's always the same story, that the people of the city celebrated the defeat of the Muslim invaders, I guess in the Crusades, by baking a pastry in the shape of a crescent. If that were true, why do we not make cakes with hammers and sickles on them when the USSR fell? In fact, nobody's quite sure, but how long croissant has been made. It seems to be a relatively recent creation inspired by the bakers of Austria. But even that isn't certain. We can talk about it over croissant and a coffee. And then, of course, you have the best croissants come from La Boulangerie, Maurice's French Bakery, the Windsor Court Grill Room, and Haidu Bakery. Haidu is on the West Bank, huh? I guess it's another Vietnamese one. I think Chez Pierre has a good
croissant, too.
There's
plenty of them over there, that's for sure.
Chez Pierre has a good croissant, too. Anyway, since we have a little bit of time left, I will also read another thing from the almanac.
Wait, before you do, did you give me one to talk on the air?
we have George. Okay.
George, can we get to George first before
we? Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay, great. George, welcome to the food show.
How you doing, Tom or Marianne?
Hi, I'm fine. Hey. Marianne is also.
Yes,
George.
I'm fine. I want to talk about Copeland's. Have y'all ever had a hamburger from Copeland's?
Wait a second. Is this George the super interesting caller? Because I'm going to be mad at you for calling 5 minutes before the end of the show.
I could call back tomorrow.
No. Well, no. Let's do a little bit today, and I want you to call tomorrow because you are a most interesting caller. So what did you call about today?
Hamburgers at Copeland's.
Oh, with the croissant? They're on the croissant.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
I used to like it. What about
you? Know, when I used to love them 31 years ago. I haven't had one in a while. But what we used to do is get good quality meat, make a 10-ounce patty, and then put it on a flat grill. But the mayonnaise, we used to mix the mayonnaise with the fat of a prime rib. And
oh, really?
That would work. That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, when it got cold, what sort of consistency did it have?
Well, you had to kind of just mix it up again. We used to do little small portions at a time.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. George, you are sure good for some interesting stuff. I got to tell you. Fascinating.
I'm sorry, every time I call, I talk about Copeland's.
I know, but you know what I love about it? Copeland's is a major player in the culinary scene in New Orleans. And
it is.
You have
it's always packed.
You
at least the
have
one I go to.
An insider's view to share, which makes it absolutely riveting for the rest of us who don't have that perspective. So
well, here, have a perspective.
You have an open-ended invitation to call as often as you'd like and to reveal whatever secrets about Copeland's you want.
ain't too many left. But, Tom, do you remember August Glass Garden right off
I remember it very well. It was a place where it looked like...
I think it's still there, isn't it?
I don't...
Not the one by the interstate, but they're out in in Harahan now.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. That's the same guy, but it's not the same road.
No, it's not the Glass Garden, no.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I used to work there, and I thought that the turtle soup and their filet mignon was great. Do you remember having those?
I have. Last time I was there, which was about a month ago, you're absolutely right about that.
But I'm talking about the old one by the service road and cars.
Yeah.
What happened to that building? Was it torn down?
No, it's still there and full all the time. They do huge business.
No, what's there?
I think they turned it into a hotel.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like
that's right. Yeah.
Or something like that. I think it tore it down and it started again.
Yeah.
But look, it's been nice
George.
To y'all. I have to call back.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Love the conversation.
You have so many good things about you, but there's no one else with a similar name. So when we hear George, we're going to know it's you right away.
Yeah, there we go.
We're going to get some interesting tidbits. So thank you for calling, and call again, please. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
See ya.
26. I'm not even going to say 260 because we're done for the day. Yeah. Copeland's made their own mayonnaise using beef fat. That's really fascinating. I could see where that would be
mayonnaise?
Actually really good.
Are you sure?
That's what he just said.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right.
That's
We're
it
done.
For us for this evening. We'll be back tomorrow and hope you will be too. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.